all women think finding a man is your ticket for happiness. It's some kind of trap I cannot get out. I felt like these are the miserable days of my life and I am trying to get out. But this desire in me is not letting me. This is when God shows me this is a curse. This is a curse, my child. Genesis 3:16. I am terrified and I get afraid because I did not want to die in this curse and to meet Jesus and hear from Him. I never knew you. Depart from me. All you did on earth is obsessed with your husband. He became your God. All you ever did is to please Him, but never me. What does it profit a woman to gain Prince Charming and lose her soul?
Okay, so this is a conversation that my wife Persis and I started having in the last several days. And what we realized is we wanted to sit back down and have this conversation publicly because God has been giving Persis, my wife, some incredible revelations about her own walk with God and a critical key about how she moved from searching for love in everything but God, finally finding it all in God. And I was so moved when I had this conversation with her, I felt compelled to share this, and I believe this is something that every Christian woman, married, single, divorced, widowed, should listen to. And I also think that men should listen to this recording, because I believe at every point that my wife mentions the word man being the woman's motivation in this conversation, we men could replace that word man with money or success. And we can then find that this revelation that's been given to my wife applies to all of us men who also are striving to find love and acceptance, albeit in different ways, outside of fullness in Jesus Christ. Sweetheart, you told me about this dream that you had that really what spawned this revelation that you had.
In the dream, I was with the family and we all went to this city. In the dream, I left my family. I just came outside and I started just walking. My mind is totally focused on this one thing. I am in pursuit of this man. My eyes are fully focused on him and my goal is to find him. I just leave my family behind. I move forward. I start walking. I cross the roads. I cross the bus stations. I cross the narrow streets.
In other words, there's obstacles and difficulty in your way.
Yes, but I just keep going until I find this man. Finally, after crossing all these things, finally I find him in a restaurant. And he is sitting there eating, chattering with his friends. I go sit right in front of him. I am totally crazy about him. I am just taken over, like I would do anything for this guy. And he knows my desire is for him, but he's totally ignoring me. He's not even looking at me. He knows I came all the way just to be with him, but he's not even acknowledging me and never looks at me.
How are you feeling in the dream? Do you remember how you were feeling when this was happening?
There's nothing on my mind except this guy. Yeah, all the time I'm thinking about him. All my desire is for him. All my goal is to find him and to be with him. He finishes his eating and he starts walking outside. Even while he's walking outside, he doesn't look at me. And again, I get up and I start following him. And he keeps going and I keep following him. And then the dream ended. I woke up and I realized what a terrible curse I was under. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. It's a terrible, terrible curse. This girl in the dream, who was me, totally have no idea what it is going to cost her. She's totally believing that he is the ultimate destination for happiness. If she just can have this man, she will be happy.
Wow.
And she's just pursuing him and trying to do things to please him. But he never even acknowledges her.
And yet, she still refuses to get the picture, and she's totally focused and fixated upon finding this man.
I'm just totally fixated. Yes, my eyes are only fixated on him. I woke up and I, thinking about the dream, and the, first of all, I praise God for I'm not in such a terrible curse anymore. And it made me think about the scripture, Genesis 3:16. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Yes, that is the curse I was under.
Yes, this is a curse to the women, in addition with pain increased in childbearing.
Yes.
We don't think about this, but that this is literally a curse.
Still is, it is existing. It
yes.
Still exists.
Yes.
Like the birth pain still exists.
Yes.
So is this curse is still active.
Yes.
And this curse will go unless you find your happiness in Christ alone.
And I want to add this part, that before you had this dream, you and I had started to kind of get little pictures, little pieces of the puzzle coming, where we see all these emails coming in from women all around the world. And what we began to see, you in particular being a woman, really picked up on it. You said to me, honey, have you noticed how every woman's problem is a man?
Every woman thinks, you know, her desire, her happiness, the destination to find her happiness is the man. If she just can have this man, she will be happy. She cannot think, no, I can be happy without man. No, women cannot even imagine that you can be happy without a man.
You're right.
All women think finding a man is your ticket for happiness. So they do anything to pursue this man, to please this man. But all your attempts will fail and you're still miserable.
Okay. I want to keep the parallels for men going too, so we keep their attention. The woman I once discovered when I was a success / motivational teacher of sorts, I began to realize men would cut off almost every aspect of their life in order to be successful in just one area. In other words, most men, if they could succeed as an entrepreneur, they won't consciously say this, but subconsciously their drive is such that they're willing to cut off their family, they're willing to cut off their friends, they're willing to cut off their relationship with God if they can just be successful in one area, right? And so the Bible says those who want to get rich have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We can now flip that for a woman, and we can see that a woman is almost willing to sacrifice anything and everything in her life, including her relationship with God, if she can just be successful in this one area of her life, finding a man. Okay, final point on that is, a man thinks if he can have success, then life falls magically in place. If I can just succeed in this one area, this is the pinnacle. If I can just get this success financially or business-wise or career-wise, then the rest of my life, family, wife, children, dog, 3.2 kids and a cat and all that fall into place. Same for a woman, isn't it?
Yes. That's what the women think too, but her desire is for the man.
And we know that the results are terrible. We know that women, because we see the emails, women in pursuit of this. In other words, if women keep doing this, what we're talking about, the results they're going to get are called grief. They keep getting grief upon grief upon grief.
So you may ask, why am I not free yet? Even though I'm a Christian, then how come I'm still under this curse? You can show your faithfulness. This is a test. You can show your love, your faith for God through this curse. And that's what I did. That's what happened in my life. This curse, which is a terrible disaster, it actually finally became a blessing. It became an opportunity for me to prove my faith, to prove my love for God. Let me start with my curse. First of all, I was looking, as you heard in my testimony, I was looking for love, and when I find this man, and I believe, see, parents' love will not last, cats will die, but a husband will always stay with me. That's what I thought. So,
sure.
My desire grew. I wanted to have this relationship. Yes, I wanted to have this man. When I found this man, and I'm trying to please him all the ways. Even though some things I won't do normally, I'm doing all these things to please him. So finally, I get miserable. What I'm expecting, he doesn't even acknowledge. Just like in the dream, he doesn't acknowledge me. And I'm still broken. I'm still trying to do more, but still, it doesn't work.
At that point, isn't it safe to assume that when things were not going the way you thought they were, so he's not recognizing all these efforts you're making, isn't it safe to assume that at that point in time, all of your hope is on the idea that if I just hang in there long enough, he'll change. Maybe God will change him. He'll change. This has got to change.
Yes, I was hoping that. I kept hoping that, yes, he'll change. He'll change. There were few good things here and there, and I just look at them. Oh, maybe. Yeah, see, he's done that, right? He'll change. He's not looking at other women, right? He'll change. He'll change.
Oh, I can't tell you how many women can identify with what you just said. Women in abused relationships, women that have men that don't love them, and they've seen a little bit of light. It's almost like those are morsels from the devil to keep the woman enslaved, in bondage, and entrapped
to this false hope. Totally, I felt like a slave. It's some kind of trap. I cannot get out. Somehow, I'm realizing this is not doing any good. I felt like these are the miserable days of my life, and I'm trying to get out. But this desire in me is not letting me. I'm trapped.
You feel powerless. Yes,
I feel powerless. I feel trapped. There is this unquenchable longing for him, and I cannot get out. Like a robot, I kept doing things to please him, and I am powerless to get out, even though I see things are miserable. This first phase, I am totally alienated from God. My mind is all occupied with this man.
Yes.
There is no room for anything now.
Yes.
Not for God, not for family, not for my career.
Yes.
I am not focusing, not even my future. My mind, my heart is filled with this guy.
Okay, I have to take a pause. Maybe this is from the Holy Spirit. I'm hearing this so loud and clear. I see a connection between what you're saying and how we try to follow pleasing God by following the law. Listen to this. When you say you were powerless against it, think about how many Christians contact us that are powerless against whatever sin, be it a man or be it some other thing, their anger, unforgiveness, pornography, temper, spending money. They're powerless. It's like Romans 7.
Yes.
Paul says, the good I want to do, that I do not do. No, the evil I don't want to do, I keep on doing. So you were there, right?
Yes, exactly. That's how exactly I felt. Over a period of time, I see, it's no good. I'm miserable. What I thought will give me happiness, I'm eating death every day. You're miserable.
You're eating death every day.
So
yes.
I want to get out, but I'm powerless. I'm like I'm under spell, some kind of magic spell. It's longing for him and I cannot get out. Even if I get out for a short time, he enters again in my life and I have no power to say no. I grew up with the fear of the Lord. You see, I am very keen on keeping his commandments in everything. I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't slip my tongue, I don't abuse anybody, I don't hate anybody. But this is like a subtle thing, like Adam being deceived by the serpent to eat just a fruit. Can you say eating a fruit is sin? You won't. But in the Garden of Eden, it is a terrible sin. we think, you know, what's wrong in finding a husband?
Yes.
What's wrong?
Yes.
No, it's not. I mean, many people think it's what you live for. You marry and have kids and that's what your life is about.
The main purpose of life, they feel, for sure.
Exactly. So, I found myself powerless when I realized this relationship is miserable. I want to get out. I see I'm being deceived by the serpent. Like serpent deceived Eve, eating a fruit is not a sin. Come on, what kind of God will punish you for eating a fruit? He used the same tactic with me. How is finding a husband is a sin, especially in the country of finding a husband is so hard, where everyone basically marries for money. How come finding a husband who loves you for who you are, not for money, how is it going to be a sin? So I give in to this. Just like Eve grabbed the apple, I grab it. Now I ate it. I brought the curse on myself. So my desire, even though I find this fruit, this relationship is bitter, my curse wouldn't let me to throw it away.
It's like a vicious cycle. You take a bite of it, you know that it tastes
terrible.
But you keep thinking that somehow or another it's going to turn in. If you just wait long enough, it'll finally turn into some sweet piece of fruit. And your desire is so strong that you live in a constant state of denial that this is wrong.
It's like it's this cycle. Every woman has this curse. So out of this curse, out of this desire, she picks the fruit. What is difference in my story and in Eve's story? It's like the difference between the law and the grace. Eve got only one chance. She messed it up. Mm. She ate the fruit and
she died.
She died, you know. She brought the curse upon herself. Here, I ate the fruit. But I can say, Lord, I'm sorry, I sinned. I grabbed it. I will throw it. I want you to set me free from this curse, please. I can ask for his mercy. Because he did not condemn me to death.
No.
Because I ate the fruit out of my ignorance. But here he is willing to show me mercy.
You know, I feel Father was equally merciful to me. You chased the man, I chased the money. And I squandered all those years chasing what I absolutely just knew that when I got it would finally make me happy. And if I got enough of it, everything else would fall into place. And instead of just condemning me to death or chalking me up as useless, Father gave me another chance.
Oh yeah, he sure did. See, in the first phase, I grab this fruit, I taste it, I find it bitter, and I asked God to change this man, change his heart, make him a good man, make him to love me, and so that we too can be happy. So basically fix my relationship with this guy. That's what I'm asking. There is no reply. Things get even worse and worse. Finally, this is where I feel powerless. Apparently, God is not helping me to fix the relationship, to change this man, and I have to get out. Now, when I want to be break free from this vicious cycle, I don't have the power to do so.
Now you're starting to face a crisis of belief. You're asking God, and he's not answering your prayers.
Yes, and he doesn't answer anything. But that means no.
So let me ask you a question. Were you absolutely convinced at the deepest level in your spirit that this man was from God, or did deep down you have some doubts?
Yeah. When I think about God's perspective, you know, I didn't think, you know, it is from him. But if I see with my eyes, compared to the many men,
you're saying, what else is better than this? Surely God would be okay with this.
Yes, so yeah.
So we start to justify.
Yeah, I start to justify, yes. We find million reasons to justify our choice,
yes,
don't we?
We sure do.
So surely
God hates divorce.
This.
God hates divorce. God hates divorce.
Exactly.
God hates divorce. God hates divorce.
Yes, I was having like this kind of law, you know, you're with one man and you got to stick with him. Even though I'm not married, but
And by the way, we do believe you need to stick with one man, but not from this legalistic standpoint and not when you're the one that put the marriage together rather than God. You know, some people don't believe that their marriage was put together by them rather than God. There are Bible teachers and pastors who teach if you got married, it was of God. Could anybody look at David and Bathsheba and say that that marriage came from God? That was not a marriage of God. Neither was the marriage in Ezra chapter 10, which is why God dissolves it. So I'm just trying to bring light to the fact that the reason why this is such a big deal to God is because Jesus Christ is coming back for a pure virgin bride. And when we yoke ourselves through justification to a dark soul, to a tare that will never become a wheat, to a Belial that will never become a Christ, it is evil in God's eyes. I committed this evil. It's evil. It's not only that it's not the wisest thing to do, it's evil, and the devil knows it. So he ensnares us, and he gets us to justify, and he lies to us and tells us, oh, just a little bit longer, things will change, or, oh, there can't be anybody better than this, or, oh, don't forget, God hates divorce, or, oh, don't forget, your aunt, cousin, Mary, sister, whatever her name is, has got a much worse marriage situation than you do. So it's all this justification to stay in and to settle for less than God's best.
In the first phase, yes, I was concerned about this. Yes, God hates divorce.
You were thinking about it. Oh, yes, so even though you weren't married to this guy,
but still I was committed to him. Yes, in my heart.
Yes, you were committed to him.
I'm committed to him just like I'm married to him. I think, you know, because my motive is good. I know it's not like I'm wanting to enjoy with a bunch of men. I am only wanting this one man, and I'm committed to him. And why wouldn't God honor that?
I see. So it's just
divorce.
Yeah.
He hates divorce. He doesn't want women fooling around with the things of men.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in big shock in future very soon, because actually I'm going to find out really what's in Father's heart. Soon, you know, the relationship gets bitter. It gets very hardened. Who else I go to? I know my God, so I go to him, I cry out to him. First time I went to him to ask him to change this man, but the second time I go to him, I approach him on his terms. I will take yes or no also. I will take no also from you. Whatever is your answer, I want to know. It's not very clear to me that I cannot be with this man. So I reached God. Lord, before I came to you, I was only expecting yes from you. Yes, I will change him. Something like that. I didn't want to hear no from you. I am sorry. Second time, I will take whatever you say, yes or no. I didn't approach God in pretense. I am really sincere about saying that. Whatever you say, I'll take it. Some of us go to God in pretense. Say yes or no, I'll take it. But in your hearts, you're only expecting yes from God. You're not willing to take no from him. In that case, he will not answer you. You will not get any answer. You will be still deceived. You will still be under the curse.
This is what Madame Gayo explains is the difference between surrendering your will and abandoning your will. She would always teach that it's possible for you and I to surrender our will without abandoning it. And that typically means we go to God and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give up all my hopes, my desires, and my dreams regarding this. But really in our heart, we're wanting him to turn around and give it right back to us.
Yes.
It's asking him to do our will rather than us doing our will. You're at this point testifying that you felt in your heart you really began to abandon your will. In other words, not my will be done, God, but yours. And you felt this from your heart.
Yes. That's the thing Father showed me in the later days, that he really loved that character in me. That's the reason I got out of this curse as soon as possible. I see many women stuck in this curse for 20 years, 40 years. Some even died with this curse.
Yes.
Because they went to God. Surely they might have gone to God in pretense.
Yes. Either that, honey, or a lot of people go to God and they don't trust Him. The difference is you trusted Him. You see, many people do not have this relationship in fullness with God because they don't trust Him.
I reach Him to hear anything He says, even if it is going to be a no. And guess what? He answers it. I find out God is saying no. Wow, no? Okay, Lord, I'm going to throw Him out of my life. So I immediately decide, yes, I'm going to get Him out of my life. Now here is the part. I try to do it in my strength. I fail miserably. I tried to get Him out of my life in my strength.
What did that look like to fail miserably? Help me understand that.
Yes, I tried to avoid Him. I tried to tell Him it's over. But my heart is not free yet. My heart is still longing for Him. Now I know what is God's answer on this. So now I'm trying to get Him out of my life in my strength, you know. I'm trying to do these things, but my heart is still longing for Him. This is something I didn't understand. God, You said it's not Your will. Fine, I'm trying to get Him out. Why is it not happening?
I want people to bring to mind right now, while you're telling the rest of this, the sin that's in their life that they know already is against God's will. They already know God has said, no, get it out. And they're trying in their own strength to get rid of it. Because getting rid of a man is no different than getting rid of a sin. Because it is sin. It's an idolatry issue. So I want people to pay attention to this. This is so much more than just about being able to get victory over a man. Okay, keep going. What happens next? You're now trying in your own strength.
Yes.
You're becoming frustrated.
Yes, I become.
Now, how did you know you were failing? Did He keep kind of coming back into
Whenever
your life?
Whenever He comes back, he does the nice, starts doing nice things. My heart is running. Yes, I am frustrated because somehow I'm trying to please God here because God said no. But whenever He's coming back into my life, my heart is racing again.
Yes, and this...
I did not like this.
This is the devil. I want people to understand that this is literally, this isn't just an issue between a man and a woman. This is an issue of a Christian woman who's trying to find fullness in God, who really does fear God, who God really does have a plan for, and there's a dragon on the loose that the Bible says has come to make war against the saints and those who hold fast to their testimony in Christ. This dragon, as you're trying to climb the ladder, like we've seen in Perpetua's story or John Bunyan's, interesting how they both had the same dream of trying to climb a ladder to heaven, and a dragon comes and grabs a hold of their feet to try to hold them down. This is what's happening with you. God is allowing the devil to use this man like a pawn in a chess game. Some people are available to the devil for his works, and some people are available for God. And God's using this boyfriend to try to hold you down through compromise and tickling that desire in your heart. This is fascinating. This is spiritual warfare is what you're going through.
Yes. I'm trying to put my focus off Him and to put it on God alone. All my mind can think about is Him. I'm terrified, you know. If all I do is think about this man, if he's always is filled up in my mind, how am I ever going to build relationship with God? How am I going to, when I'm going to think about Jesus? And how is Jesus going to know me? If I'm keep thinking about this man, how is Jesus and I are going to know each other?
You literally became conscious of this struggle in your heart?
Yes, I became conscious.
It's like trying to serve two men. It's like trying to be married to two men at the same time.
Yes. See, I'm trying to know Jesus, but this earthly man is always on my mind.
Wow.
So, I'm terrified and I'm get afraid because I did not want to die in this curse and to meet Jesus and hear from Him. I never knew You. Depart from Me. All You did on earth is obsessed with Your husband. He became Your God. All You ever did is to please Him, but never Me.
Wow. 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 No one can serve two masters, for he will love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other.
Yes. This is when God shows me this is a curse. Curses? This is a curse. my child. Genesis 3:16. Then I would cry out to God, please, Lord, set me free from this curse. I can't do it. I tried. I failed. My heart is still longing for Him. No matter, I want to try to do Your will. I want to kick Him out of my life, but I am powerless. I want to be free. If I am constantly under this curse, how am I ever going to serve You? How am I ever going to know You? And I start seeking Him more, more and more. I get in the Word. And by the way, when this is happening, the devil did not just sit and watch.
Amen.
He came big time. What he did, you know, he make up this man into something, a knight in the shining armor.
In other words, in your mind, he began to paint the picture of your ex-boyfriend as being a knight in shining
armor.
Not
in my mind, in the literal circumstances.
Oh, okay, where he started to change.
Yeah,
yes.
He started to change big time.
Yes.
He started to meet all my expectations once I had of him.
Yes. So in other words, now the cost is exponentially growing, and it's going to become even more painful
to walk away.
So right here, you're already at the end of your strength, while he's not such a good catch. And now he's turning into an even more attractive catch. And now you're really in trouble.
Yes, I am really in trouble. I mean, it made sense when God said, no, oh yes, Lord, I understand. Yeah, you never treated me with love. So yeah, this is something I don't want in long term. So I easily said yes.
Yeah.
I will kick him out of my life. But you see, now
the devil's kicked the stakes up higher.
Yeah.
So tell me what happens next.
Now he starts coming around and he's just doing the right things to please me. The things I expected, he just does the right thing.
How did you respond to this? You're wanting to get free of this, and now the stakes have gotten higher. What did you do next?
I was, whoa, what's going on?
Did you ever wonder if God was maybe doing this?
At one certain point of time, yes, I did.
Meaning that you were wondering if God might be kind of making him a little better to finally bring him around and in your life, right?
Yes, maybe. Is God changing him? What's going on?
Wow.
Is he finally giving me what I asked him once?
Isn't it funny how we always want to give God credit for the things that we want in our life? Never could it possibly be the devil who's doing it, in spite of the fact that Satan himself tells Jesus, everything on this earth and all these kingdoms have been given to me, and I will give them to whoever I want. But we never think.
Yes, again I start asking God, Lord, what's going on? This guy is changing really good, you know. He's ready to do things, all the things I asked him. Are you changing him, Lord? Are you finally giving him to me?
Did you get any answer?
I didn't get the answer immediately. The stakes rose higher and higher. He literally is becoming good. This evil man who always ignored me, always disowned me, is now actually paying attention to me, meeting my needs. He's becoming good in my eyes.
Yes. And I want to point out that the Bible teaches that God tests the righteous.
Exactly.
So God is testing you
to
see.
That's what it was going on.
People think it's just the devil, but I also want to make sure that people understand God is the one who's sovereign and in control, and God allows the devil to do these things to test us.
Exactly. So while all these stakes are rising higher, I don't hear anything from God, and he literally is saying yes to everything I'm saying. He's an unbeliever, and he starts saying, yes, I will read Bible. Yes, I will come to church. That's something I never expected. And he finally says, you know, he's ready to give up even his family to marry me. That is look like very attractive offer. He even said he's not going to hinder my walk with God. I can be Christian. He's not going to force me to become unbeliever like him. I mean, this did not happen just in one day. It happened over 2 years. So finally, he becomes all good in my eyes. I go to God. Now, God, I see this man is changing big time. Surely it should be from you. Devil will not turn a man into a good person. surely it must be you. Should I go for this? I mean, he's even saying you will come to church.
In spite of the fact that we have a scripture that says the devil masquerades as an angel of light.
Exactly.
I want to point this out for people.
Should I go for this? Lord, I mean, this is really such a good offer. I mean, you know there are not even Christian men would marry girls without money.
Yes.
Yeah, because of the dowry system. I mean, I see men raping women every day with lusting eyes. He's not one of them. He's not demanding money from me. He doesn't look at other women with lustful eyes. So, Lord, he's really good offer, Lord. What do you say? He says, no. But, Lord, if I say no to him, you know, Lord, India is such a worst place. There are not many guys who would jump around for the idea of love marriage. I probably would end up single. I may have to live my life alone. I'm only 28, Lord. I won't find another man who wants to do love marriage. Everyone wants to go with the easy way, arranged marriage, marry for money. I may not find another man like him, Lord. What do you say now? Still no. Okay, now comes the difficult part. See, if I obey the Lord, all I see in my future is a single, lonely woman who tried to find love, gave it up, and she never finds love again. In the future, I could see my life being lonely.
I'm sure the devil was helping you out with that picture, by the way.
So, yeah, it's also God is testing me. I think about this, I struggle with this, but I know Father's heart is not in this. So I know it's a no from him. Right in front of me is something I always wanted all my life, at least what I thought. And God is saying, no. 6 years I invested, waited patiently, and put up with all kinds of nonsense, and took all the rejection. Finally, it came around and turned good, and now God is saying, mean, walk away from that. I didn't like the first time, I didn't jump around and say, yes, God, yes. This is the part, you know, I have to trust God, you know. Clearly, to my human eyes, it's not such a wise thing to do. Throw away a man like that who is ready to do anything for you. To my human eyes.
Human understanding, yep.
Yes,
says that's it's a foolish decision.
It's a foolish decision, but this is the part I have to trust. My Father is a good Father. And whatever he tells me to do is for my own goodness. It's not his will. He doesn't say something to do to make me miserable.
No, he doesn't.
So I have to believe that.
Yeah, you have to have the faith. You have to trust that
yes,
God is good.
Yes, I believed it. Yes, I believed it. It's like, I'll give you this analogy. If you ask a five-year-old kid, what is your ideal life? He will say, eating candy every day for every meal, all day playtime, no school.
Correct.
This is his greatest idea of good life. But as an adult, you know, that's not really
it's
a smart
foolish.
Thing to do. But
it's harmful.
In his little mind, it's such a great idea.
Yes.
And he doesn't understand why does some these adults, they foolishly...
Want to take all my fun away.
Yeah. And also force me to eat these tasteless vegetables and milk and all these things. In his mind, you know, he doesn't understand why adults would eat such kind of food.
Correct.
Leaving the candy. But if he is a kid who loves his father, he knows what his father or mom is telling him is for his own good. They are not his enemies. They are his parents. What they tell him to do is for his own good.
Yes.
When they send him to school, they miss him. But it is for his own good. If he stays all time in playing with the toys, he's not getting anywhere. If he every day eats candy, his health, he gets diseases. And he ruins his life. So, if that kid, to put away that candy, to go to school, that kid has to trust his parents. You know, one day that kid would grow up and thank his parents.
Yes.
Thank you, Mom and
Dad,
for not letting me that candy.
Yes.
I wanted to eat candy all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to school. Thank you so much for disciplining me.
Amen.
For saying no to my stupid decision. You see, you have, that's why Jesus says, you have to become a child to enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
See, I'm clearly having to become like a child.
Yep.
In my eyes, that man is so good, you are stupid to lose him.
Yes.
But Father is saying no.
Yes.
So, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Amen.
I don't find another man like him in India. So.
Okay, sweetheart, this is the part where the road separates between carnal Christians who never find Christ in fullness and those who do, right here. You have to make a decision. Is God good? Yes or no. Is God for me? Yes or no. Is God in control? Yes or no. And is God super wise and knows best? Christians have got to believe this. You knew the Father. That's the advantage you had that so many don't. There'll be a lot of Christians who listen to this, and this will be like listening to Greek to them. That you could have this personal relationship with God, that you mean I can really just cast all my anxieties on Him, I can really ask Him about what He thinks, and I can really trust Him blindly, and I can really throw away common sense and human understanding and wait. You mean God really cares about these decisions I'm making in my life? Most people have never given God enough godliness and faith to work with. They haven't seen God show up in their life in any way, so they have no reason to start trusting Him today. I just want to put the point out there that the only reason you got this far is because you already had the most important thing that you and I can have, which is to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, with boyfriends, with careers, with hobbies, with ministry, with food you eat, exercises you take, vacations you go, acknowledge the Lord and He will make your path straight.
Yes, my heart is breaking inside, but I say yes and I ask Him to set me free from this curse, that I don't want to be under this curse with any man, not just this man, even if I have another man. I don't want curse to be repeated.
Yes, you don't want the man to be sitting on the throne of
your
heart.
Yeah, exactly. I say no to this guy and I ask God to set me free. And it didn't happen immediately like you would think. God did not set me free. Okay, you're free. Go. No. Here is the part. He is going to test my sincerity and also my love for Him. This is the period He's going to allow the devil to tempt me in all the ways. To show my sincerity to Him, that I'm really serious about this. I not only say no to His proposal, but I totally cut the contacts. I don't talk to Him, I don't take His calls, and He comes up with the gifts or, you know, He tries everything and that I don't respond. You see, I'm not yet free from this curse yet. I am still, my heart is burning. But I deny myself. No, I'm not doing this. I promised God I would do His will, not mine. So I'm denying myself constantly. My heart is just longing to go again. But I'm denying constantly. And basically after trying all these things, He tries a new strategy. He tries to get with another woman, so that He would arouse me to jealousy, then I would go back to Him. It hurt me, but what would hurt me more is if I deny my Father's will.
In this moment, you keep talking about denying yourself, okay? That is the absolute essence of the Christian life. It is the foundation. It is first base of taking up the cross and denying yourself, whether it be for a man or for sin. You have to deny yourself. And what I think people don't think about is they think that if I deny myself, God is immediately going to bring pain relief. And they don't understand denying yourself brings suffering. And you have to be willing to suffer, and maybe sometimes for a while. And people immediately think pain, not good. No pain, very good. And that's the devil's thinking. So it's important for people to understand that whatever it is that they're being touched in their heart right now by the Holy Spirit that they've made a mistake on, or that they're trying to idolize, or that they're clinging to that's not good, or they're compromising with, people have got to understand it is going to be costly to cut that thing out of your life. This is why Romans 12 says, present your bodies or present your lives as living sacrifices. Being a living sacrifice is painful, but it won't stay that way. I'll talk more about that later, but I want people to know that what you're going through at this point is excruciating.
Excruciating. I would give up anything for God. Money, I already decided I'm going to donate all my money. Basically everything, anything he asks. All those things doesn't really hurt me. I never really longed for anything. Never really loved money or power or authority or career or the comfortable life. If God would put me in a village, I'm happy to live there if God is with me. So, but only this one thing I desired, this man. And when sacrificing this man, it's getting excruciating, like...
It's basically losing your life, sweetheart.
Yes, losing my life, that's what it is.
In order to find it, Jesus is challenging you at this moment. Are you willing to lose your life, which is your will, your dreams, your goals, your desires, in order to find it?
He's not saying anything about my future.
No.
It's just blank.
Yes.
And in the blank check, devil is filling these lies. You are going to end up single, that's it. Lonely woman.
Yes.
So basically, I'm sacrificing my plans, my desires. Everything is in line of sacrifice now.
We know people stuck in sin, people stuck in strongholds, people stuck in ignorance. All these things, the strongholds of the devil, they cannot do it in their own strength, but they do have a critical role to play. You can't just sit around and wait for God to take the pain away.
Yes.
You can't just cry out and say, God, take away this cocaine addiction. You can't just say, God, take away the pornography addiction. If you do, you will be sitting here until you are dead, and your last words will be, God, you didn't take away the porno addiction. So talk about the critical role that you had. What was it that you could do, that you did do, that God eventually honored?
Yes. What I did, I have to prove that I mean it, and I am willing to suffer anything for that to happen, for God to be my God, only Himself.
Yes.
I want that to be my reality, not a man ruling me, not me being a slave to a man like a robot doing anything, always trying to please him. No. I want only God to be my God.
James teaches us faith without works is dead. When they let the paralytic through the roof, the first words we see is, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. And every single miracle that took place in the new covenant, the person who received the miracle had a critical role to play. If you wanted to see Lazarus raised from the dead, Jesus said, go roll away the stone. You had to have the faith to do your part. You couldn't raise Lazarus from the dead, but you could go roll the stone away. If Jesus Christ called you to come to him on the water, and you're Peter in the boat, you can't walk on water. No human being's ever been able to do this. But you can show God your faith by standing up in the boat, walking over, throwing your own legs over. If you want to have your eyes unblinded, you can go get up and believe God and go wash in the pool of faith. So now God is in the pool of Siloam.
Now I have to prove
my faith. You have to prove your faith. Faith, yes.
By actions, not saying lip service.
Correct.
I did do that already. I said to the Lord,
yes,
Lord, I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to sacrifice this man for you, my plans, everything for you.
Yes.
Now I am having to prove in my actions. So this is the big battleground now. The opposition is going to come from the devil big time. He is going to try everything to get you down.
And to discourage you.
Yes.
And to get you to turn back.
To make you defeat in this battle and to make you compromise and to send you back to the same place where you were.
And let me say why he's trying to do this. Okay, people think it's about you. It ain't about you. This is all about God. The devil could care less about you and I. The thing that he's angry at is God's glory on earth. And what he tries to do is to stomp out every single flame that's burning hot for God. He wants to spit in God's face. And every Christian that he can pull back into the ditch, it's like he spits in my Father's face. Okay? Hebrews 11:6 is what this is all about. The Bible says definitively and black and white that it is impossible to please God without faith. Okay, look, it doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It doesn't matter how many rosaries you say. It doesn't matter how many Hail Marys. It doesn't matter how many times you serve in Servolution. It doesn't matter how many diapers you changed over in the nursery. It doesn't matter how many crocodile tears that you've cried in worship service. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone that comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And what is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and absolutely certain of what you cannot see. And that's proved by actions. Now God wants to see your actions.
Yes, my actions. So, I mean, it is not easy. Like, if somebody your heart is longing for, if He's calling you, your instinct is to just pick up the phone and talk to Him. If He's trying to meet you up, just go and meet Him.
That's the curse.
You know how hard it is for a woman. You see, I am still the same person, but here I am proving my sincerity to God. The call comes, my heart is racing, but I don't pick up the call.
You're denying yourself in that moment. Yes. One small step.
Start somewhere, yeah.
This is critical, sweetheart. This is the part, I'm sorry, I have to cut in on you here because this is the make it or break it part for everybody here, okay? God gives every Christian this opportunity to prove their faith, and God tests so many Christians, and so many Christians have failed the test, okay? The great news is that God will give you more chances, but it's these little bitty things that people say, oh, it's just easier to take the call. I'll ignore it the next time. What if God's still changing him? And the justification, at some point, you gotta shut that liar up.
Yep.
And you gotta put actions behind the words that you spoke so that Jesus doesn't look to you and say, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. The fear of God must wash over people, and the love for God.
Yes.
This is true love for God, to obey His commands, to give yourself up for Him. So you, I mean, this is huge. These little things, like you ignoring, people think, oh, it's just trivial. No, this is everything. This is where the whole story turns. And God decides, is He going to build something worthy in your life? Or are you going to just shrink back like the rest of the world and settle in compromise and go down the stream with everybody else, robbing God of His glory? And God says, I tried to break you. I tried to entice you to follow me. I tried to love you. I tried to court you. I told you it was going to be costly. There would have been a reward if you would have just hung in there a little bit longer, if you would have just been willing to deny yourself. Why did you choose the temporary Snicker bar that's never going to satisfy you over what I had for you? Why did you choose death over life? I'm sorry. This is so important. So please forgive me. Go ahead. You started denying the calls.
Yes, denying the
calls. What else did you do?
And denying myself to look at His profile. First of all, I'm not a huge Facebook fan, but because I'm not in contact, my heart is wanting to know what's going on with him. No, I said no to my heart. No, I'm not looking at him. And check his WhatsApp. No. Oh, he's always online. Maybe he's talking to somebody. No, so what? None of my business. And I said, okay, let it go. It is not easy, as I'm saying now. You know, every woman knows it. If their man is with another woman, you know how much it hurts. So, but it didn't hurt me. If I compare it to hurting father, it didn't hurt me so much than thinking how much father would be disappointed in me if I just give in to the temptation. So all I'm doing is just putting God above my heart's desires.
You're dying.
My flesh, yes. I'm completely dying. I'm in the process of dying to my will.
Yes. People don't know what this means. They want to say, what does it mean to die to yourself? This is exactly what it means. Nothing more, nothing less. What is it that you desire so much in your life that you are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt you know better than God that this will make you happy, fulfilled, have a sense of purpose in your life, be the answer to all your prayers, and when you say no to it because God has given you light, you've seen the truth of His word, or He's directly told you no through providence or through whatever, when you say no to it, that is taking up your cross, and the cross is an instrument of death. This is fantastic, sweetheart, because This is such a practical example of what it means to deny yourself. Now, in this moment, the only reality you have is death. And that's why people avoid it. They think, okay, if it feels this painful now, surely it's going to feel this way forever. I can't live with this pain. I need to do whatever it takes to take the pain away. But yes, life was going to come after death. There's always a resurrection after the crucifixion for those who believe and trust God. I want to make sure people understand that. That
yeah, you don't see it that moment.
You don't.
You don't. But if you trust God, you will endure it.
Yes.
That's what I did. You know, it looked like that pain is going to, this vicious cycle is going to last forever. And oh my gosh, how long is this going to last? And devil is throwing all kinds of things at me. You know, he tried the X thing. And now he's also trying to tempt me through other people. You know, like in the office, you know, my colleagues, they always talk about their wonderful married life. You know, they married to the person they loved. All the time they talk about is their husband. So here I am to please God. And here are these two women always talking about their husband in my ears.
The devil's trying to put gasoline on that flame in your heart to keep it lit.
Yes.
Wrong flame.
Yep. So finally, I just distance myself from them. I reject the temptation. Let everyone do whatever they like, but I am going to do what pleases my Father. I am still firm on my decision, so that didn't work. And now devil tried different attacks. Even though you sacrificed, you still did not get the peace, the joy you're expecting, and God has forsaken you. Apparently your sacrifice did not mean anything to him, and
the reason why you're saying this is because immediately you didn't start having this bliss in your heart, like heaven didn't open up in your heart, like hallelujah, right? It was a time period. You had to wait.
Yes, I had to wait. In the waiting, your faith is going to be tested. But if the devil is saying all these lies, will you give in to that? No, you shouldn't. I didn't give in to devil's lies. Okay, yeah, you're right, devil. But I said no to all the lies. Yes, your lies, you know, certainly they look like they are true, but I am not the wise person to judge your lies. You can try to convince me, but all I know is my Father is a good Father and He's righteous. He's just. He's going to bring justice to me.
So you, in faith, you did Ephesians 6:16. You took up the shield of faith with which to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Right?
Right.
You're in the wilderness. You're getting so close to the promised land. And the road from Egypt to Canaan always leads through the desert. So always. You've been through this very difficult thing. God is promising you, I have a fullness for you. You see it in His Word. He promises it to everybody.
In His Word, yes.
You don't have to have a word from
God. But I'm not feeling it yet.
No.
So devil is taking advantage of that.
Yes.
So like God said, Israelites in Egypt, you know, I am giving you the promised land. And they come out of Egypt. What do they enter into?
Battle after battle after battle. First desert, of all, the desert. Yes.
First the wilderness, yes. And then they cross the desert. Now what do they have to face?
Well, and notice this. As they get to the Red Sea, they want to change their mind. They want to go back. As soon as they get to the Red Sea, right before God does one of the biggest miracles, they've decided, wait a second, it was better in Egypt. Did you bring us out here to just die? Why? They're feeling the same pain that you were. The sacrifice wasn't worth it, Moses. Getting free is not so good after all. You see, the temptation is to go back to bondage. The temptation is always to go back to bondage because there is a true cost for freedom. You got to walk through the desert.
Yes.
Then you follow.
You have to trust, most of all, yeah. It costs you, and also you have to trust God. There's no other way.
Yes.
In this time, I felt complete lack of peace. It's like God is distancing himself. It's like Father distancing himself from Jesus who is on the cross. And Jesus could not tolerate it. You know, Jesus never complains anything about anything. Oh Lord, they are nailing me. Oh Lord, they are putting
spitting on me, beating me.
He doesn't say anything for all these things. But when Father distances himself from Jesus, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yes, the presence of the Lord.
Exactly, yes. The presence of the Lord is gone. And this is really most excruciating pain. I'm telling you, it's the hell.
Yes.
Basically, it is the hell. What do
you mean?
The presence of the Lord is heaven. The absence of the Lord is hell.
Amen. Heaven is only heaven because God's there.
Exactly.
That's right.
So I'm experiencing literally hell. You know, we take it granted, you know, we have, even though God gives us common grace, through common grace, we experience, all the people, the atheists, all ungodly people also experience this peace. How are they able to move on with their lives, you know?
Yes.
Is the peace God gave them freely.
Yes.
And this peace I had during this trial, it's all gone. Like,
wow.
I am on the cross. Now, there is no presence of God, literally gone. And there is only the devil. I am in hell, literally hell. This is the part that God so hard. This is the part, it feels like God completely left you to the devil. And devil is playing soccer with your head. Spiritually, I was like kicked, beaten, flogged. Spiritually, I am bloody. I am crawling to the Father. No, I won't stop coming to you. I won't give up on you. Here, devil is telling me, just give up, I'll stop beating you up. Just stop going to God, I'll stop beating you up.
I said, I'll give you what you asked for.
Yeah. So, I said, no. As long as I'm kept crawling, he stops kicking me, I didn't give up. The scripture, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Oh, how true is that?
But when you are tempted, he will make a way out so that you can stand up under it.
So I kept crawling to God. Finally, God set me free from the curse. I did not feel anything anymore. I did not feel this drive to go after anybody anymore.
You were free.
I am completely free. And now I could see what God has planned for me, you know. I rejected this man and God became my husband. God became my everything. Like he said in Isaiah 54, your maker will be your husband. And God became more reality in my life than an earthly husband.
And that means you had contentment. Most women don't even understand what that
just,
word is.
Yeah, I am so content. In fact, I am so happy. Even if I married to this man, I wouldn't be that happy. That kind of happiness cannot come from anything or anybody in this world. God gave me this unperishable joy, this deep satisfaction that I could have never gotten from anybody, especially from this man.
In John 16, Jesus tells the disciples who are very sad about the loss they're getting ready to encounter, he says, now is your time of grief, but a time is coming when no one will take away your joy. You've reached that place. And I also want to point out that your freedom from the curse of man is the exact same principle that gives us freedom from sin. It's written right in John 8, 31 through 32. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, he said, you are really my disciples. They already believed that Jesus was Lord, but he says, you are really my disciples if you hold to my teaching. In other words, if you obey the words that I'm speaking to you, he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These Jews said, wait a second, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anybody. How then can you say we shall be set free? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. You are a slave. Peter taught that a man is a slave to whatever masters him. I was a slave to money. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And then he says these powerful words that you now know through experience. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now tell me those words didn't mean so much more to you then. In your actual experience versus all the times just reading it as a cute little word.
I read that verse many times and that did not make much sense to me. But now I know.
Through experience.
Not
John
just
7:17.
Listening. Yeah.
If anyone chooses to do God's will, watch this, he or she will find out. honey, you chose to do God's will. His will was for you to say no, to deny yourself, and to trust Him without any explanation. And yes, you found out. Praise God.
Yes, I found out. Yes. So I'm telling you, this is the joy I'm experiencing.
I know a lot of people can't imagine that. Just like you know, a lot of women can't imagine getting to a place where you didn't need
a husband
anymore.
Yeah.
Someone might listen to this, a woman who has such a strong desire for a husband. There'll be women who will hear this and they'll say, yeah, of course you have this joy and this peace. You're sitting in front of your husband. God gave you a godly husband. That's all I desire, Sister Persis. So, yeah, I understand why you're so happy and filled with joy. I would be too if God finally would give me a godly husband. Speak to that.
I just want to point out all this freedom, this joy and peace I got, it's not because I married Michael. This all happened before I ever know I'm going to be married to Michael. God did not need to give me a husband to make me happy. No, He gave Himself up for me. He became my everything.
Jesus says these words, and what you and I experienced is what these words bring about. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him, which means manifest, not literally. I didn't literally see Jesus, neither did you. But he goes on to say in verse 23, whoever has his commands, his Father will love, and my Father and I will come to him and make our home with you. So now I just want to ask this crazy question. If the God of the universe, who breathes life into every single thing you've ever seen and known in this world, if he comes and makes his home in your heart, do you suspect that may qualify for a level of joy and peace that you've never known? Something that you can't put into words? What every woman needs to know is that you have been lied to.
Yes.
And every man has been lied to. Listen, it's no different for man than it is for women, okay? The devil just simply says, Mr. Man, money will make you happy. Mrs. Lady, a man will make you happy. It's just one simple lie. It's just an exchange lie. Both lies are, God is not enough. I had a woman tell me one time, I was trying to counsel her, and she at least got honest. I respect her for her honesty, but she doesn't realize how dangerous this place was. She said to me, Michael, I'll be honest with you. God is not enough for me right now. I need a man. She was so lonely and had been through so many train wrecks in relationship. She thought for sure this next guy was going to be the answer for her, as do all women. It's a lie. This is an issue for men and women. Again, for men, it's money. For women, it's men. I think of that passage of Scripture where Jesus Christ speaks about the rich fool.
In Luke 12.
Who has all this money, and he has barns that are overflowing, and he realizes, wow, my barns are overflowing. What shall I do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store up all that I have. And then I'll say to myself, you have plenty. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God comes to him and says these words, you fool, your very life will be demanded from you this night. Premise being, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? The exact same thing could be said of a woman.
What does it profit a woman to gain Prince Charming and lose her soul?
Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira, yes.
Yeah, in Acts 5, what did it cost her when she chose to please her husband
instead of God? Wow.
Yeah.
She got death.
She got death, not just a physical death.
Spiritual death too. Yeah.
Where do you think she went to?
Yeah, we know where she went to.
She lied
to the Holy Spirit. She's in hell.
She went to hell. Now, think about this. Obedience brings life. Disobedience brings death.
Yes.
If you're experiencing lack of peace, death in your marriage or relationship every single day, you're under this constant torment and pressure, I just want to remind you, you're eating death every day. you're eating this bitter fruit every day that you picked. It's not too late for you to today to throw that bitter fruit away and seek God. But if you just keep eating that, hoping that one day it will get sweeter, and you go to grave eating that bitter fruit, think where you're going to end up. That's what the dream was about. It showed me the seriousness of this thing every woman is taking so lightly. What's wrong in having a man, husband? It's not a sin. No. You are totally choosing the creation over the creator. Honestly, ask yourself. We are serving the husband rather than the God. Our whole interest is to please the husband rather than the father.
And a God-fearing woman, by the way, does things to please her husband, but to please her father first.
Yes.
Because he's the one that's commanded her to do this. She doesn't do it with him first in mind. She does it with him first in mind, father.
A husband from God, he tastes sweeter, and the relationship is life. I am eating that sweet fruit now. It's every day I find it sweeter and sweeter. It's life.
Yes.
But I also know how it is like keep eating the bitter fruit. It's death every day.
Yes. And the truth is, sweetheart, the Bible teaches us that there are only two kinds of people on this planet. Two kinds of children. Children of God and children of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. Okay? So the Bible also teaches us that there are tares and there are wheat. And the tares have been planted by the devil. And the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he poisons us through compromise and justifying relationships and by marrying his children instead of God's.
Amen. Yes.
Can I pray?
Yes, honey.
Let's pray. My Father in heaven, we love you, God. We thank you so much for the opportunity to have this conversation. We pray, Father, that you bless people to hear this. Lord God, Persis has been so courageous to openly share of her weakness, Lord, in order that others might find life from this conversation. God, we ask you for freedom for women that are under this curse. We ask, Father God, that you'll bring light to the hearts of those who will hear this to know, yes, this is me. I'm under the curse. God, let it be that women bring you their first gift, honesty. I messed up. I'm broken. I chose wrong. And that they will confess these things to you and repent. That they'll get in your word, renew their minds. They'll ask you for guidance and direction. But Father, that they will refuse to compromise and can set down this rotten fruit. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to replace dark with light. To exchange death for life in the hearts of men and women that hear this message. May you set them free. May your will be done. May you give them the courage and the strength, Father, to take the risk, to trust you in faith, walking into the unknown, believing you for your very best, which is you. Father, we praise you and honor you and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.